Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, August 11th. I'm Ula Kuziz. Like most of the nation, there seems to be a coffee shop on every corner in St. Louis. But what many may not know is that 100 years ago, St. Louis was considered the largest inland coffee hub in the United States.
So you had the East Coast, the West Coast, and then you had St. Louis. Because they could use the Mississippi and they could use railroads, and it was really a connector.
We'll learn more about this history and get a look at a few local coffee businesses. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. Missouri Democrats are bracing for a special session to redraw the state's congressional lines. President Donald Trump is pushing Missouri Republicans to have a redistricting special session. The primary focus would be splitting up Kansas City enough to oust Democratic Representative Emmanuel Cleaver from office. Democratic Senator Patty Lewis of Kansas City says her caucus won't have the power to stop the GOP, but she hopes that her colleagues don't acquiesce to Trump's demands.
I hope that the supermajority stands up to the president, does the right thing, and we don't go into special session and gerrymander the congressional maps.
Lewis was a guest on the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. The Land Reutilization Authority says it's once again accepting offers for vacant St. Louis properties. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wimbley has more.
The Land Authority temporarily stopped taking applications after the May 16th tornado, and leaders say now is the perfect time to help investors increase building occupancy. The LRA owns around 9,000 properties that are available for purchase, and 85% of those parcels are vacant lots. The remaining 15% are vacant buildings. Shelton Anderson is the LRA's Director of Real Estate.
Through the efforts of the community, the investors, and the developers who seek to actively purchase those properties, we do believe that the vacancy rate will continue to go down.
Those interested in properties must submit offers by September 3rd to be considered at the September 24th LRA board meeting. I'm Lucretia Wimbley, St. Louis Public Radio.
Breast cancer might become easier to detect before it even develops, thanks to new AI-based technology created in St. Louis. The software Prognosia Breast analyzes mammograms to determine a person's risk of breast cancer in a five-year span. It was developed by a team of Washington University School of Medicine researchers, including Joy Jang, an associate professor of surgery. She says the process is straightforward. Patients will get a mammogram. The results will go through an AI algorithm, which will spit out a risk score for developing cancer.
And then based on that output, there may be a conversation between the provider and the woman in terms of what can be done, right? How can we prevent the breast cancer from happening if the woman is actually at high risk?
The software recently earned a breakthrough device designation from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. That makes it a step closer to full market approval. The highest summer temperatures have been getting cooler in Missouri and Illinois. But St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke reports climate change is bringing warming at surprising times.
Some scientists call it the warming hole. It's a recent trend of cooler summertime high temperatures over the middle of the country. Scientists say increases in moisture and humidity are keeping those daytime highs lower. But the same factor has the opposite effect overnight, says Zachary Laib, a scientist at the nonprofit Climate Central.
We're seeing more and more of these really hot nights where sometimes the low temperature doesn't even fall below 80 degrees. And that really stresses the body, causing a multitude of health issues.
Laib says many states just had the most humid July on record. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
In St. Louis and nationwide, there seems to be a coffee shop on every corner. But there's so much more to coffee than a caffeine boost. From growing it to roasting it, there are quite a few steps before coffee makes it to your cup. St. Louis Public Radio's Olivia Mizell reports on what coffee means to St. Louis.
At the Sump Coffee Roastery in St. Louis's Old North neighborhood, owner Scott Carey has a meticulous process for roasting the coffee that Sump customers drink. first, he received samples from coffee producers all over the world, from Ethiopia to Colombia.
We'll get these little tiny batches or samples. So this is like green unroasted coffee, and then we'll sample roast it.
If the sample is up to par, he orders about 10 bags of beans. Each one usually weighs more than 100 pounds. Then about 20 pounds of beans go into the roaster. Carrie started using a fluid airbed roaster this year, so the beans roast much faster than they would in a traditional drum roaster. It only takes about 3 to 5 minutes. When the beans are done, they come out of the roaster transformed from green to a deep brown. But before the coffee is roasted, it has to be grown. Ethiopia is one of the world's largest coffee producers, and local business Moy Coffee is striving to make it easier for roasters to connect with Ethiopian coffee farmers.
We pretty much connect the coffee roasters to trusted producers, because we do the due diligence ahead of time to make sure these are producers that you could trust and work with.
That's Moy Coffee founder Fral Ahmed. He was born in Ethiopia and moved to St. Louis when he was 14. He started Moy from his dorm room at St. Louis University.
By the time I realized how hard it was to be a student and also run a business, I was too deep. I had customers waiting on my coffee every week, so I couldn't back out.
Sump Coffee is one of those customers. Moy also distributes coffee to other St. Louis roasters and nationwide. Ahmed's co-founder, Andy Irazoke, studied computer science at SLU and designed Moy's website. He says it makes ordering coffee easy for roasters.
Buying coffee is as easy as possible when you don't have to be always using emails or going through spreadsheets.
Modern technology has taken hold in nearly every step of the coffee roasting process. Carrie's roaster at the Sump Roastery has a digital display that tracks the roasting process on a graph. He records detailed data from each roast on an online platform. But coffee roasting in St. Louis started long before the digital age. In 1920, St. Louis was considered the largest inland coffee hub in the United States. Katie Moon is the charitable giving advisor for the Missouri Historical Society. She previously worked as an exhibits manager at the Missouri History Museum, and her first exhibit in 2015 was all about coffee.
So you had the East Coast, the West Coast, and then you had St. Louis. Because they could use the Mississippi and they could use railroads, and it was really a connector.
St. Louis coffee history starts even before that. In the early 1800s, coffee shipments came from New Orleans up the Mississippi to St. Louis. Coffee roasting became big business in the city during the 19th and early 20th centuries, and one roaster is still around. Renoco was founded in 1904 during the World's Fair and is still distributing coffee across the country from St. Louis. Specialty coffee fell to the wayside during the Great Depression and World War II, but in the past 10 years, coffee shops like Sump that roast their own beans have taken off again in St. Louis.
And that's really cool to see that St. Louisans are really, committed to this specialty coffee and are willing to spend a little bit more for really amazing coffee.
A few examples of this besides Sump are Blueprint Coffee, Coffee Stamp, and Caldi's.
I don't know if I've ever had just bad coffee in St. Louis. So if there's one by you, just go.
For so many St. Louisans, coffee is more than just a beverage. It's culture, history, and community. I'm Olivia Mizell, St. Louis Public Radio.
Tracy Tong edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music is by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Ala Kuziz, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.